Good morning, everybody. I'm going to talk about regularized gradient algorithm for non-negative independent component analysis. This is a joint work with Mariam Jaden, Antoine Soulumiac, and Christian Chitain. My talk is divided in five parts. I will firstly quickly recall back the Brunswick separation problem and the non-negative independent component analysis. After that, I will describe the proposed exact regularized gradient algorithm for non-negative independent component analysis. I will show some simulation results before concluding. So, assume that we have M observation of N sources that are mixing by matrix colored R. And the Brunswick separation problem is to estimate the hidden sources and the mixing matrix given only the observation. Some application we work on is, for example, dynamic positron emission tomography. In this application, we have several reconstructed PET image of the same organ, and we try to estimate the pharmacokinetic compartment from this image. Another application we work on is liquid chromatography mass spectrometry. We have several mass spectrum of the same chemical solution, and we try to identify the different molecules that are composed the solution. In these two applications and in many other applications, the sources are non-negative. So this non-negativity must be considered when performing the separation. One way to take into account the non-negativity is the non-negative independent component analysis. So in this method, we have some adding hypothesis than classical independent component analysis. So if the sources are assumed to be non-negative, independent, and well-grounded. And under this assumption, it is been shown that the source can be rightly estimated by firstly whitening the observation, followed by rotating the whitening data to make them positive. So the whitening step can be easily done. For example, we can make a single value decomposition of the observation and derive a whitening matrix. But the rotating step can be quite more difficult. So to do so, Plumley proposed a criterion that measures the negativeness of the output. And the problem becomes looking for the rotation that minimize this criterion JP. So this optimization is quite difficult to track by a gradient-like method because we have to take care for maintaining the W matrix on the rotation set, and we have to compute also the gradient. One way. So move to the proposed method. One way for keeping the orthogonality constraint is adding a penalty term, J orthogonal, that penalizes the deviation to orthogonality. And we can then transform the constraint optimization to an unconstrained one. But when expanding the first term of the criterion J, one may note that it contains the discontinuous function C that derivative lead to direct distribution, which are generally integrated in other methods. This lead to a least accurate expression of the gradient. To overcome this problem, we propose to replace the same function, the discontinuous sine function, by a continuous y tangent hyperbolic tangent with large lambda. Lambda controls the accuracy of the sine function approximation. The larger is lambda, the bigger is the approximation. So we then introduce a modified criterion, J-ERC, which is the approximate criterion, the approximate function J lambda and the plus the penalization. Doing so, we can derive an update equation given by the blue equation. And the gradient can be easily computed. And it is given, the gradient equation can be easily computed in this formula. But the term beta is important because it is derived from the approximation, and I will show why it is important. When comparing the gradient expression computed from JP and computed from J lambda, one may note that the two expressions differ from beta. So, and when representing a beta against Y, one may note a curvative for a very small value of Y, and this value are met when converging. So it is important to take care of using the approximation. So I'll move to simulation result. For simulation, we use synthetic sources. The sources are generated with sparse uniformly distributed random matrix S, and we are a parameter which control the sparsity of the source. So the parameter spar control the non-zero element in the sources matrix. And the mixing matrix are generated using a normal distributed random matrix. Free performance measures are used for testing the performance of the method. The one is the reconstruction error, which is the criterion we'll look to minimize. The second one is a non-blind performance and index, which measure the quality of the separation. And the third criterion is the CPU time to converge. Our method, we compare the method with other methods that are already proposed for non-negative independent component analysis. The first one is a geodesic shapes method proposed by Plumley using a criterion GP. In this method, the rotation is written as the exponential of a skew symmetric matrix. And the second method is the axis pair rotation method. This method works also on JP, and in this method, the rotation is parameterized by a given rotation. The third method we compare to is the projected gradient method, working also on JP. This method works on two steps. The first step is to compute the gradient, and the second step is to project the obtained matrix on the rotation set. The third method is look like to our method. It works on JP plus the penalty term. So here is the original sources and the sources separated by our method. For this simulation, we use n sources. The number of samples is equal to 1,000. And the sparsity degrees is set to 0.01. This sparsity corresponds to 1% of non-zero element in the mixing matrix. It is a very sparse matrix, so there is many zero in these sources matrix. And when looking the separation error and the reconstruction error, the proposed method in this black line is outperform the other method. another simulation we do, we consider three sparsity degrees, and we run a 10 Monte Carlo, independent Monte Carlo run, and here are the mean value obtained for the five method I present. And one may note that despite the proposed method in this black line is slightly slower than the other method, it also present the best reconstruction and separation error. So let's move to conclusion. So we propose a regularized gradient method for non-negative independent component analysis based on the criterion proposed by Plumblay. In this method, we had a penalty term to maintain the orthogonality constraint, and we approximate the discontinuous function seen by a continuous one hyperbolic tangent for making an exact calculation of the gradient. And simulation on synthetic data so that with different sparsity degrees so that the proposed method outperform existing one. For future work, we have to track for theoretical convergence analysis for determining the optimal parameter of the algorithm. This can help speeding up the proposed method. We have also to consider noisy mixture for evaluating the robustness and incorporating the sparsity a priori. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Are there questions, comments? So we have some time. Yes, please.
Have you considered apply your algorithm to any real data, like image?
Good question.
Or music spectrogram?
Taking into account a priori.
Sorry.
Have you considered applying your algorithm to any real data? For example, music spectrograms. Yeah.
Now I use the data on the application I saw in the first slide, the mass spectrum.
Yeah. Can you go back to the first slide? Maybe? Okay. Yeah.
Mass spectrum data is a real analysis of a chemical solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is dynamic PET emission, dynamic position emission tomography. But I work at this time, so I don't have a result to see here.
And in these both of these applications, the mixing matrices are non-negative, and the data also.
Yeah,
both
in both of these applications, the mixing matrix and the data and the sources are non-negative, but the non-negative independent component analysis don't assume that the mixing matrix are non-negative.
It
can work even if the mixing matrix has a mixed thing or if the mixing matrix are non-negative.
But can you also exploit the fact that the mixing matrix is non-negative?
This method don't take into account this information.
Can you modify the method so that it's exploited?
Yeah, perhaps, yes.
How?
For example, in performing the whitening, if mm-hmm. Given the whitening matrix and the rotation, the mixing matrix can be estimated from these two matrix. But when multiplying the whitening matrix and the rotation, we are not sure to have a non-negative matrix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So perhaps we can incorporate this information, but I don't know. Perhaps we can disable to incorporate this information.
Okay. Can you go back to the slide where we have the applications? What's the sparsity degree in these applications? Because you had like 1% sparsity, right, of the mixing matrix in your simulations.
Yeah, in mass spectrum data, the mass spectrum data is a very, very sparse data.
Yeah, this one here. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, what is the sparsity really? Like 1%, 1 per mil, 10%?
My spectrum data is approximately 1%.
1%,
non-zero element in my spectrum data.
So 1%
non-zero element, mm-hmm. So it is a very sparse matrix.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is why we use in simulation the sparsity degrees equal 0.01.
Yes.
This corresponds to 1% non-zero element.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It
sure.
is similar to mass spectrum data.
Okay. Yeah. What about the other application, this position thing, and this PET? Position emission, there's also sparse, there's also a sparse mixing matrix, or?
In positron emission tomography.
Tomography, yes.
No, it is not sparse.
It's not sparse,
Sparse, yeah.
So if the mixing matrix is not sparse,
yeah.
Then your algorithm doesn't really have a big advantage over the others, or?
If the sources are not sparse,
mm-hmm.
our algorithm will work similar to other algorithm,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if the sources is very sparse,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
it will be more interesting to use mm-hmm. our algorithm.
Yeah. So and do you plan to use it on real data also?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying now to use it in the real mass spectrum data.
Mm-hmm. Because you haven't mentioned this on the outlook on the future work slide. Okay.
Yeah.
More. Yes, please. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why you choose two big numbers?
Lambda control the source, so we approximate the sine function by an hyperbolic tangent. So lambda control the accuracy of the approximation. The larger is lambda, the bigger the hyperbolic tangent approximate the sine function.
And does the performance depend on the choice of lambda?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We have to choose a large value of lambda. But if lambda is too large, the same drawback of same function will appear in hyperbolic tangent.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More comments, questions? Okay. Thank you very much again.
Okay.